This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and a warm welcome to another Sky Blues Extra podcast brought to you by Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern. Dean again in control of the buttons alongside me, Dave Moore. Dave, how are we doing, fella?
Yeah, all good. Nice to be back on. It's been a feels like it's been a little while. So I think I'm back on and up again at the weekend. So unlucky to
wow,
the people that are listening. They've probably, you know, had a chance to not listen to me for a while, but I'm back.
Yeah, you got some good ratings on the old Sky Blues Talk forum post. So a lot of people calling you out for good things. So maybe they will listen. Maybe they will tune in. Maybe the numbers will go back up again. Who knows?
Oh, that's it. Now you've put the jinx on it. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, after listening to this, I'll probably go, you know what? I'll skip Monday's episode. I'll go listen to somewhere else. How are you feeling after last night? It was a weird one. It's a weird
I've got
one.
A confession to make. I turned it off at 93 minutes.
I was about to say, are you going to bring that up? Because you know what Gandhi said? You know, don't back the early kickoff.
Yeah.
And never leave a Sky Blues game early or turn it off in your case.
Exactly. No, it was like 93 something, 94. And I was just like, I was just done. And I was like, oh, I don't know why. It's ridiculous. I've never left a game early in my life, apart from one game, which was we played Leicester away and it was 4-0 at halftime. And I was like, at the time I lived on the Isle of Wight, I was like, I'm going. We're not going to get this back. I might miss a worldie over a kick for all I care, but I'll get home that little bit earlier. But other than that, I don't know what came over me. I was just, I don't know. I think because I felt we should have got something out of the game.
Yeah.
And also it's just so tight up there now that you just got this big target on your back and it's not a position that's that fun.
You find yourself sort of refreshing all the time, don't you? Even on Tuesday night, I was like, oh, let's have a look at the score. Let's see what the table looks like. We're not even playing. I was the same again last night and just thinking like all the different consequences are. If we get a win here, another 2 points onto what we've got and all that sort of stuff. It's mad.
Yeah, exactly. Like working in marketing, I'm always trying to see like how much time people spend on a page, what the bounce rates are. And I just think my own habits must just be, there must be someone looking at this and thinking, who is this guy? Like, what a nerd. Like,
why is he refreshing this live score table every 5 seconds? It does it automatically as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But just that and the calendar, obviously they don't have the stats on that, but like every game that's finished, I think it's a good thing, but I'm just on the calendar waiting, like looking at the next game and working out what's coming up and what I'm going to, because they're just, I think it's just, we're down at the business end, aren't we? And they just can't come round quick enough because we are turning performances that make you think that we're going to be in this for the running.
Yeah.
And even if that doesn't go to plan, we're going to be there or thereabouts because the teams around us are also, you know, inconsistent. You had Sunderland last night against Huddersfield, I think it was, away from home, was it? They were beat, was that right?
They got beat, yeah.
Norwich against Watford, and Watford haven't pulled any trees up. They, you know, and they came on strong in the end, but actually for a large proportion of that game, they were being held. So teams around us are not you know, doing anything different to us, and I think we're in a good position.
But it's bloody fun though, isn't it? It's better to be in this position than, you know, like looking behind us and seeing what's going on at the opposite end of the table. Like
100%.
We're back in the mix
no
again.
Man's land where nothing's going to happen. You're not playing for anything. Going to peter out, you know. And I'm sure we'll come on to that. But there's going to be a lot of teams that we come up against that are going to fall into those categories soon. So,
and then when April comes along, we're going to be playing a lot of teams that are in the opposite end and you know, gunning for automatic promotion, etc. So
exactly.
There's lots of time left to ponder. I mean, you said you turned the game off early last night. I mean, it wasn't
shocker,
because of the weather.
I apologise. No, I wholeheartedly apologise. I will never do it ever again. Like, it's absolutely shocking for me. And I went in a group chat and I was like, this is on Robbins. And they were like, what is?
What? The idea that we got a free kick last minute and equalised? Yeah. It is crazy what this team makes us do. The fog last night, it was pretty wild, wasn't it? Like, there were some parts of the game I was hoping that it would actually get worse because I was like, at least we don't have to see what's going on watching some of this dross.
But there was times that you were like, where's the ball?
Yeah,
what's going on?
Well, the cameraman was down one end and Palm had it up the other end at one point.
Yeah, I wondered how, like, I'm sure it was absolutely fine, but it did start to sock in a little bit, like quite low level. It would have been absolutely fine, but probably not for like a ball over the top or something.
Yeah, probably. And actually, for the cameramen, it's a lot worse because they don't actually look at the viewfinder in colour most of the time. They'll look at it in black and white. So if it's just a white mist ahead of them as well, it makes their job 10 times harder.
I think the red button, they just send a two-man team down there as well. There's a commentator and a guy with an old VHS recorder.
Yeah, so they take the wide camera feed. So every championship game, there's a minimum of four cameras.
Right.
So I'm just going to get very technical now. But yeah, there's four cameras. And they're for iFollow subscribers or people who purchase. And then with the red button feed, they just take the main camera feed, which is the main middle camera. That's camera number one.
With no replays.
No replays. And then the commentator is just in a hut back at either Stockley Park or Sky Studios. They're never at the game, generally.
Oh, that's miserable.
Yeah, it is miserable. I mean, I've directed and produced these games for iFollow, so I know how miserable some of these commentators are.
The perks of being a commentator is getting around the country, isn't it? I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe that's
wait till you see what they have to do for highlights. So on the Saturday after, let's say there's eight or nine games been played on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
There'll be one commentator will take on five games to do the highlights voiceover.
Yeah.
They've had to watch five games and keep an eye on what's going on all the time. It's so hard for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you are just tuning in, this is a Sky Blues Extra podcast.
Yeah, we will talk about the game. It felt a bit last night, at times, a little bit like the tiredness was creeping in. Like, you started to see silly mistakes happen.
Yeah, I think so. Even like Torp, to be honest, in the second half, like he made a few like unforced errors, which was like really first time I'd seen. I was a bit like, well, I was a little bit disappointed, actually. It's a bit like when you play with a Christmas toy all day and then it breaks at the end of the day.
With a box instead, like most children I've seen.
I thought I'd get a lot more out of this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he obviously made up for that and more. But what I mean is, yeah, you're right. Some errors that were just not typical of the players that were making them. I felt Eccles. I think all over the pitch there was just a few
lethargic
tired legs,
performances.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got people coming in that haven't played as much.
lots of different partnerships as well in different areas of the pitch, and it is really struggled. Like, it's, you do struggle to get up to terms with, you know, how other people play. I mean, there is a very close-knit squad, but that's not to say that when they're on the pitch, you know, it's super close and they're all feeding off each other. I mean, there was 5 changes last night, you know. That's a massive amount to change in a team after, you know, playing 3 or 4 days ago. Like, the front three was completely different to what we've seen all season.
Yeah,
like,
Godden, it
was. Sims and De Silva haven't played together. You know, the back four was back together again. And Joel and Torp were playing in the middle for the first time other than the 30 minutes they played on Saturday. So it's...
Yeah.
You do get these odd times where, with the amount of fixtures, it's going to happen.
You know, it's going to happen. And that's, I think, you know, everyone's cottoned onto the reality of that, because you're always going to get people that just think that they're paid a lovely amount of money. Which means that they're robots. Yeah. And machines. And they're not. And I thought it was really good that, Robin's come out and said, this is a fatigue. It's not an injury. It's fatigue. And what's the point? And I really liked him saying, what's the point of me dragging him? I mean, some of the fans that then took 2 days off work to go to Plymouth are maybe thinking differently, but he's like, what's the point of me dragging the boy 10 hours down the road to play for 20 minutes? And he's right, you know, he's going to get a better recovery, I don't know, listening to...
Clive and Oggy. You reckon he was listening to Clive and Oggy?
No, I would think he'd have some music on over the top of it. Maybe.
I reckon he was just watching the main feed on the red button.
But yeah, no, exactly. So this is going to happen. It and you're going to then get these performances that seem a little bit disjointed. But it's actually quite nice. I don't think Robin's used to rotate as much as this. But maybe I'm wrong. I feel he used to just almost play to the death.
You only had that option, didn't he? Because didn't have a squad to utilise.
I think that's it. And that's why you can never remember. You just remember people just being like flogged to death.
To the death, yeah. You know? Yeah, bringing that cow back out to market, etc. did Robin allude to a little secret Twitter account as well during that interview? Did you hear it?
No.
So, yeah, he was saying, I've seen a load of nonsense left, right and centre here, there and everywhere. And I'm thinking, where has he seen that? Because the Telegraph didn't report on it.
Ross Spence's Twitter account, I think, is where he's seen that.
Oh, you definitely see a load of nonsense there.
Just because, you know, he's listening in.
All he ever does. He just listens back to the episodes generally that he's on. So is Cov 176544 whatever recurring? That could be Mark Robbins. We never know.
It could be, yeah.
Or one of these.
And Elon Musk just keeps, you know, blocking him.
Yeah, like the rest of us.
It's interesting. I'm sure he does. Like, we've heard that he listens to various,
podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say.
You weren't
going
to blow your own.
I didn't want to. No. But you know, we know that he's aware of the different, mediums, I suppose, that are out there. But and so he knows what the sort of vibes are around the club, you know, because we know he's very much more involved in not just the playing side of things. You know, he wants to be involved in a lot of the other things that we heard about, like the community stuff and that, where he's very keen to make that happen.
Talking of vibes, the number 9 position, what's your thoughts on it? Is this a cursed position this season?
I don't know. I don't really think. I think you spoke about this on last week's pod actually, and I was listening to that, and I think you're right around we don't really play with the need of a natural number 9, if that makes sense. It doesn't feel like we don't, because we've got these players that are very technical now, like, you know, O'Hare and Sakamoto, and they're. It's very different. We don't really need like a target man, and we don't really seem to have this like out and out striker, I guess.
That's when they're available though, right? Because like, obviously Hadji and Sakamoto did start the game. So it felt like last night we actually needed to utilise the number 9 a bit more.
Yeah, and it did feel like we went a little bit longer, didn't it, last night at times. And I suppose for me, if I had to say, if there was anyone, I think it would be Sims, to be honest. I think out of everyone, Hadji, Godden, Sims, even, you know, the option of maybe putting someone like Palmer, pushing them up further. For that, I think it has to be Sims. I think he shows enough strength. He's got enough pace or more pace than the other option. You know what I mean? Like, what he gives you in strength, you don't probably get in off Hadji Wright jumping for headers and that sort of stuff. What he gives you in the added pace, you probably haven't got in Godden, if that makes sense. Yep. So I'm not saying he's the finished article.
He's not perfect by any means.
No,
he is, but so far away from what we need and what we expect. But
yeah,
I think we said this a couple of weeks ago, we're seeing more from him than we are with other players.
The attributes that he has, with both the strength and that little bit of pace, you know, his goal yesterday showed that.
And the run as well was really intuitive.
Exactly.
I thought.
Yeah. And he can, you know, bully me. And, you know, and I haven't seen the angle, but obviously because I watched on the red button. So I literally got one slice of the one chance, one go only. But, you know, it seemed like a good save.
It was an instinctive finish.
He had to set himself. It wasn't the greatest of pitch. I'm not trying to give him over and over the excuses. You know, he's a professional footballer and it was, I don't know, what, 18, 20 yards out, something like that, maybe a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you'd like to see them be nestling in, you know, you without harping back. But other strikers in the league, Connor Chaplins and stuff like that, they would finish that, I would expect.
Yeah.
Would have been nicer to have seen that just nestle, but to follow it up and sort of bully their defence, I think we get more out of him than we perhaps do. And obviously, Hadji looks so much better coming off that left side.
Very calm, chested finish as well, which I liked from Ellis after.
It's
after
very FIFA-esque, actually.
It was,
FIFA. It's like when you just bundle at home.
Yeah, nice to see. And again, that will hopefully build his confidence going into the weekend, because he's going to have a very tough task ahead of Stoke, which we will come on to later on in the programme. You mentioned the other player there, Matty Godden. We can't go without mentioning that chance, unfortunately.
Yeah, he'll be fuming. You know,
of course
he will. Absolutely fuming. But
he's just trying to be too clever, hasn't he? Rather than clinical, I thought. He's like, he's trying to get it into the corner when actually, just get it
pace
on target.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it would have. I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, you know, it's one of those, you know, snapshot decisions are made at very quick pace. And unfortunately, on this occasion, you know, I think 9 times out of 10 that goes in. And it's just unfortunate that this seems to be happening. And, you know, the Sky commentator yesterday was, you know, it's like the only stat he'd studied of how many games Matty Godden had gone without a goal, 20, I think it was, something, 20 without a league goal. Because obviously he'd done all of his good work in the early things when we were struggling. You know, he did actually drag us through some of those early fixtures with instinctive finishes and just being a bit of a thorn in the side when we were just not playing very well. But you've said it, lots of people have said it, is that we play a different game and style now from those early days. You know, you look back to like the Prestons away, we're just a completely different footballing outfit. It's clicked for what, you know, he offers you, I think. And sadly, if those things aren't going right, which is his bread and butter, it's a tricky, you know, it's a tricky
scenario, road, isn't it? Yeah, because you look back at Matty Godden's career and he's built on his finishing ability. No question about it. You know, over the last 10 years, he's been one of the best marksmen really in the EFL going through the leagues.
Yeah.
And his movement.
Yeah.
Both have seemingly kind of parted ways with him over the last few months.
Yeah, the interesting one yesterday actually was, and again, I haven't got the ability of a replay, so I can't. It went out for a corner, so it was a save. But it was first half we were kicking?
Kicking left to right.
Yeah, maybe it was the second half. There was one that he found himself on the left-hand side of the box. It was second half, I think.
Oh, yeah, it was a second big chance, yeah. When he had to go across the keeper.
Yeah, and it's like, that was Matty Godden's, like,
the bread and
literally
butter
trademark.
Movement. Yeah.
You know, he rolled the defender, He's got it on his right foot. He's opened his body up. He's got the whole goal to go at, and he kind of snatched it a little bit. I think he lost track
of where he was.
Yeah,
that's what it felt like. Like his feet got muddled up, and in the end, he sort of like just scuffed it.
And again, I think he'll be as frustrated with that as he would be with the header. Do you know what I mean? Because that was, it was like textbook Matty Godden. He's peeled the defender. He's broke away. The whole goal is gaping, and he kind of put it near post. It must have been to get the save, but he kind of didn't get any purchase on it. It was so, yeah, it's a frustrating thing, and then you start to have that confidence. Everyone's the confidence, doesn't matter what job you do, and players are no different. If the confidence isn't there, you start to try and change the way that you do things, or you try much harder. And you know, we all know about working smarter rather than harder, right? It never really works and comes off, and sometimes you can just be trying too hard, and then those opportunities aren't landing.
Unfortunately, I think this one's going to affect him big time. This game, if you look at the City unseen, they actually don't show either of these chances.
Mm.
Like it feels like that's probably one that's come from the top, like not to include it in the video because they've showed other chances.
Yeah, interesting.
Maybe that's maybe that's a sort of a sign of where his head is probably at the moment. So, yeah, tough. It's a tough one. We just don't have options, really. That's the thing. We're a little bit short in that area of the pitch. It hasn't really worked for so far this season. Saying that, though, it's not unlike both, really, Godden and Sims, maybe to switch at some point and get going again. Like, it'd be
there's going to be opportunities, you know, and you said that there is that, like, you know, we could see a team sheet this week or the week after and Godden will be on it and you'll have the doomsayers that are going, why, because everyone's shattered, mate. That's why, like, you know, because we've got an FA Cup game on the Monday, which Mark Robbins is going to absolutely want to win, but will feel that he can get through, you know, with, different operators to who will play against Preston on the Friday. He will feel that, you know, and he'll have to make changes. It's just not possible, but he'll have to have those in his back pocket like he had Wright yesterday. But I do feel like Wright is a player that kind of has to play himself into games a little bit rather than the impact. Mm-hmm. And for me, Godden's probably more impact than Wright. So I don't know. I got laughed at again yesterday, which is a very common theme. But
just in the street.
Yeah, I often think, yeah, what's them shoes about, mate? But no, I often think that is it better to start with, you know, 40, 50 minutes of a solid, your best 11, do you know what I mean, in terms, and then rest, and if it's not going to plan, change it then and take the thing, because you always start games faster. But I don't know, or is it better?
I think it's horses for courses and who you're playing, isn't it? It's just one of those. It's difficult to sort of pinpoint that kind of thing, because there'll be games where you think, let's start fast,
blow them away,
and then we don't do it, and then like you're chasing, and it's.
But we're talking about one thing, because that was early on. You know, if that went in yesterday,
it's a different game, isn't it?
Totally. And we said the same about. You know, the fixture the week before is that, you know, that goal goes in early doors. I can't remember what one that was. And all of a sudden, it's a completely different game. Oh, the post one, the Hadji Wright.
Yeah. And then the opposite end, it fills up with shipping way too many goals again at the moment. And they're all stupid goals that, you know, like Bobby Thomas last night, the first one, diving in for no reason.
Yeah, he lost his head a little bit.
Yeah, completely lost it. Yeah, he made one killer pass first half, and we're thinking, oh, that's vintage Thomas there. And then after that, you know, probably went to his head and started diving in left, right, and centre. And obviously, the second goal was a deflection as well. Last clean sheet was on Boxing Day. 11 games since then, 16 goals conceded, which is the fifth highest in the division.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot. Funny enough, I was just looking at the stats. I was actually more focusing on Stoke to see how many goals they'd scored. You know, we've scored 50 and I was looking for, but I didn't really look into it because they've shipped a few. And I was thinking, we're way up there.
Yeah, it's concerning. It really is concerning. And like, we seemingly, when we concede one, we can it looks like we're going to concede another.
Mm.
Like, that's that, like, a little bit of lack of confidence in their ability. And
I thought they were a good outfit last night.
And... Yeah, I thought they were solid. They weren't, like, world beaters, like, not pulling up massive amounts of trees, but they're going to, you know, give teams a good game at, you know, at home.
And I
sure.
think they had some tricky, you know, tricky players that are going to give people headaches. And
Whittaker's like a class above the rest of the team, you know. I didn't realize how tall he was as well. He's a big
when you've got people running at you like that, it doesn't matter who it is, it's just tough, you know. You're backing away and backing away, and that's where that deflection come from, you know. You need to, the more you allow people to just run into space and run into positions, it's always going to be tricky. But yeah, it's a frustrating one, because I think we looked very solid in large parts, as we always do. Passing, you know, I thought sometimes it looked a bit rushed, a bit hurried, but generally we, you know, you play some football and you think, oh, good, you know, we're good. You know,
we definitely controlled large period of the game. Like, we created chances, 7 shots on target. So yeah, like we did show some promise. I don't think I see a lot again today, doom and gloom and all the naysayers, but I'm thinking, hold on, we play pretty well in, the majority of the game.
I think you have to be, again, you know, people think they're machines, but dragging yourself all the way down to Plymouth, misty, horrible night. I know that's what they're paid to do, and I know it shouldn't come into it, but it always will, because you just, it's just, they're humans. You know, you stand on that pitch, it's you're just thinking, you know, you're miles away from home. It just is. They're only humans.
Just thinking how many games of Mario Kart they had on that coach trip. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, new record.
Actually, Carl was probably at home playing that whilst they're on the. On the coach.
Yeah, I don't blame him. To be honest, I should have put it on the side as well.
And obviously a last gasp equaliser, which you didn't see. Kitchen somehow gets the last touch. But again, it kind of felt to me like, okay, we're down in the doldrums with a minute to go and we're chasing and chasing. But when we got the goal, it felt like that was a kind of momentum builder. Like, it builds into the next game. Is that this season's Ben Wilson moment? It could be. I suppose time will tell, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, possibly. I think, you know, what's important is we keep picking up these points, and we wouldn't have deserved probably to lose, but it would have been a game where you would have turned around and said, well, actually, it's not the end. It wouldn't have been the end of the world. There's still a lot of football to get, you know, and then you look back at the fixtures. That's the beauty of it. You can look at these things and you can go, well, Sunderland have been beat. And the other day you had a draw that, you know, I can't remember if it Hull maybe or whatever, maybe they won in the end, but these teams around you aren't all going 5 unbeaten, you know, your Leicesters are doing it. So it's very easy to get, like, so focused on that, even if that was a 2-1 loss yesterday, and go, right, that's it, we're out of the playoff race. Like, no,
it's nonsense.
Like,
yeah,
we, I mean, we might go
24 games unbeaten, and they lost 3-0 at Bristol. So
exactly, and you know, I watched a bit of that game. They looked just, you know, like they'd not played together, you know. And again, it's tricky. There's a lot of games of football being played. You're going away from home. It's all, you're always up against it away from home, and you know, this is what they say, isn't it? Win at home, draw away,
and you've got a chance.
You know,
we've got plenty of games to go. It's just shaping up to be an exciting end to the season, and we just need to enjoy it. Like, it's going to be a roller coaster. It's 2 defeats in the 20 games or something like that. The last game,
ludicrous
was,
stats.
Yeah, like, we lost to Preston on the 4th of November, and we've only lost to Ipswich and Norwich in that time, like two of the toughest bases to go in the division, you know, long trips.
And
really
we're a completely different outfit.
Yeah, of course we are.
Turned up to that game. We didn't even think we could win that game. You could just tell.
Inconceivably, we actually could have won that game.
No, of course. Yeah.
You know, we had a lot of chances.
Yeah.
Godden missed a penalty as well at that game, didn't he?
Is this Ipswich?
Yeah, did he miss?
Yeah, 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 yeah. You're right. So, yeah, to either level it or take it to 2-1. I can't remember, but they all blur into one, don't they?
They especially do.
If I don't wear my glasses. But,
Right, yeah. Let's wrap up this game before we look ahead of Stoke. Man of the match?
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? I think Sims, you know, a lot of what we did that was good was came through Sims. He battled, he tried hard, and he got a goal that sort of kick-started it. And he was a bit of a menace all night, so I'll give it to Ellis Sims.
And we should mention Torp as well, because his assist for that goal was just off the scale.
We spoke about it when I was last on the pod. I listened to Ross and yourself. He's a special player. He really is. And he's fitted in just so seamlessly. Really exciting stuff to come from him.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, next up for the Sky Blues, a trip away to one of the worst away trips of the season, to Stoke. Dave, you're not going.
No, I'm
mainly on the basis you don't like going to Stoke, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I've been there, you know, a lot of this season I'll go pretty much home and away, but there's grounds where you go, right, I'll tick it off and then that's it. Like some nerd that's trying to count up towards 92 grounds that every year, because I'm so old, some seem to go under or some seem to actually get a new ground that I'm then always another six away from where I was last time. So
is it in your Twitter profile?
I'm going to say, yeah, ashamedly.
But you probably haven't updated it in about 6 years.
I haven't updated it, yeah. So it's just there making me look like an awful ground hunter or whatever they're called.
Well, you have ticked this one off in the past, and it's obviously it can be a very tough place to go, the Bet365. Stoke, obviously, not in the greatest shape this season, like languishing down in 19th position. Tough. They're on a run of four defeats heading into Tuesday night's game against QPR, and they managed to scrape a 1-0 victory there. So their tails are maybe up a little bit heading into Saturday. What are your thoughts ahead of this Stoke fixture?
Yeah, a bit the same. I was looking at like last five games, like us compared to them, and you think there's only like one, you know, one red in sight, you know, as a loss, if that makes sense. And when you compare that, there's you know, it's a sea of red for Stoke, but they're always are a team that can come up with something. We're gonna have a better team back. Better. I mean, we're going to have, you know, O'Hare and Sakamoto probably starting, I'd hope. And we know that gives teams nightmares, gives them a lot more to think about. So, you know, when I say better, I think it you know, the way we started last night in comparison to how we'll probably start this game is much more possession based, less longer ball, and running at people and turning defenders, you know, turning them round, which is always is hard to defend against. So, yeah, I think we'll be solid. It's always, again, tough going to any away ground in the Championship. But, you know, I think there's going to be also players chomping at the bit, you know, that were rested this week that will want to go and prove that why they shouldn't be.
It's always a competitive game, I find, against Stoke.
Yeah, I'd imagine it to be fairly physical. And, you know, well fought. I think it's going to be tough. You just don't know what they're going to come up against. I've not watched a lot of them this season. But, you know, when you look at the teams that they've lost to recently, you know, I think, was it Blackburn they may have played recently, maybe?
Yeah, they lost 3-1 at Blackburn. Birmingham. 5-0 at home as well to Leicester.
That was the one that is just, you know, that is a killer to any change in morale. Like, 5-0 is a real... you know, you can come out. What happened after that? When did they come out and win after that?
No, they lost again after yeah. Leicester. That was the Blackburn. So yeah, their yeah. last five, lost at home to Birmingham, lost away at Sunderland, lost at home to Leicester, lost away at Blackburn, then obviously beat fellow strugglers QPR on actually last night rather than Tuesday night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great. And they don't score a lot of goals. I mean, that's what I was their top goal scorer, at. Vidal, has scored five.
Yeah. So, this is what I was looking at. They haven't scored many goals. And we've, you know, got a pretty solid defence. It still feels that way. Especially, you know, now maybe Kitchen and Thomas have had another game back together and spent some more time. That might, you know, improve that even more. They've not scored a lot of goals and they've shipped a fair few. I think they're down at 21st
yep.
in the amount of goals conceded, 50 something, 50 maybe.
It might be 50 on the nose, yeah. 45 actually.
Yeah. Okay, maybe I was looking all
30 scored, which is, you know,
yeah.
30 at this point of the season, that's 20 less than us. That's
That's what I was looking at. Sorry, we scored 50. That was what I was looking at. We scored 50 and they've scored 30. And they've shipped a few. Like I say, they're right down there. So just based on that and the way that you'd like to think, you know, I looked at things like shots per game. It's pretty much the same. Everyone seems to have 12 shots. I think every league, probably if you went across the whole league, the average would probably be around that 12, 13 mark or whatever. But that is a big gulf, you know, there's a big gap there between our, you know, goals scored and one theirs and how many they've conceded as well. So all of the stats point to, you know, a pretty hopefully successful trip.
I think it's the big chances created per game, which sticks out to me in comparison to us. We're at 4.5. And they're at 2.8.
Yeah, so and in these games where we're comfortable, we do seem to override them. And I suppose, you know, you could look at fixtures like QPR away, like Millwall away, where that quality just comes through. Mm-hmm. And actually, we against these teams, we seem to have a knack of just knowing how to win now, which is the measure of a good team.
I was about to say, our attacking threats outweigh their attacking threats in that regard. Yeah. And that's where you hope the quality will come through in that regard. Yeah. Even if we're, you know, sort of lacking at points during the game, even like last night, we were lacking, but we had the ability to bring Tats and Wright on and completely change the shape of how we looked up the top end of the pitch. I don't think Stoke have that in the locker.
No, I agree.
Which gives us...
And it's why, you know, they're probably, you know, that's why they are where they are.
Going up against Michael Rose and Luke McNally as well. Have you seen Twitter recently with the McNally hate?
No.
Oh, it's been horrific from Stoke fans.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just not a fan of him.
Properly.
I think I have seen a lot of our players, fan base on Twitter saying, well, I don't know what you've done with him. You know, he was like prime Maldini like last year. And now you seemingly turned him into, I don't know, think of another player with an M.
Dave Moore.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that's the Carmack Fadzine effect, mate. You lose him. He probably, I think I said it when Fads left, he really sort of led that back line so well and dragged those two young'uns through games that season at times. So,
yeah.
Without him there, maybe he is a different player, and who knows? You know, maybe he's better in a four.
Yeah, fair enough.
Maybe
you're right. You know, Rosie and them both. You know, both sort of.
I thought you
always...
say Rosie and Jim then.
Yeah, but they both sort of would always play as a. I don't think, you know, Rose was comfortable as a you know, whereas Higham, I think he's comfortable as a centre back, if that makes sense.
Yes.
But I don't think they two ever showed that they were. As comfortable, especially Rose, I'd say. I don't think you'd ever think that he would be a sweeper, for example.
Is there anyone in that?
I know no one plays with sweepers anymore.
No. Well, they might. Well, sometimes keepers feel like sweepers at times.
Yeah.
Actually, that was a good thing. Collins last night, a few good bits of distribution, mainly because there was so much fog and no one could see where the ball was going. So, is there anyone in the Stoke team that sort of sticks out for you?
I don't know. Like I say, I haven't watched a lot of them this season. I suppose, you know, the goals, like you say, they've just been spread around, isn't it? There's not really anyone. Not particularly. Really.
I think Berger is probably the standout for me in the team, but not
Berger.
Val Berger. I think has a defensive midfielder.
Yeah,
very very good at his job, and you know I think he could really, he would be someone I would target as sort of an accompaniment to the midfield that we have.
And eight booking. So if you do fancy a bet at the weekend,
there we go.
Berger's your man. Double chance.
Without onions, though, for me. No onions on my burger.
Yeah, no, I like I say, I haven't watched a lot. Obviously, we know a lot about McNally and Rose. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, just, I don't know. It's a lot of players that have had the minutes just don't. Yeah, like you say, he scored the most goals pretty much, apart from, like you say, your.
The dugout.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was going to let you pronounce it because I was no chance.
I don't think he's got an accent. I don't know. He's Portuguese anyway. Right, so they're going to be fighting for their lives, fighting like beavers, as Chris Kamara would say. score prediction. Let's get a score prediction for it.
Yeah.
I think it's very much dependent on what Robbins does with the squad. We're led to believe O'Hare will be back. So that'll be a positive. And with Tats and Hadji being rested and from the start of the game, you'd think they'd be likely to be put back in.
Yeah, you'd think they'll start. Same Kitchen and Thomas, and I think Torp is obviously going to play.
I think Eccles will come back in as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we'll have a lot more control of the ball in this game, whereas with...
Do you think Lattie will be dropped then?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
from
I just
captain
think
to bench.
How many? By the way, we've had 9 captains this year.
I was going to say, it's
ridiculous now.
I think it's picked out a hat.
Yeah, I think Oggy's going to have the armband next game. That's what it feels like. But yeah, I think he will. Okay, it was a decent performance, but I think as part of the rotation again, I think Eccles will come back in, and then.
But it'd be great to have that sort of front three. I thought Palmer played really, really well in the first half yesterday. I think he looked...
Wow, that's big from you. Because Palmer hater.
No, but he had a really solid game. And I don't think the ball was sticking for anyone. It looked like a lot of people were miscontrolling
it
last
tough,
night,
yeah,
to be fair.
Yeah.
It did look like it wasn't easy. But I thought he looked like a central midfielder more than he'd ever looked like a central midfielder this season. You know, he was starting to pick up the ball and, you know, pass it, basically. I was quite surprised to see him pass it.
He loves that little shield thing. He loves that little step over, then shields the ball, which is great. He's got great strength.
He had a really good game, but I think he might drop bonus. Out, possibly. I'm not sure. We'll see.
And a score prediction, then?
I'm going to go 2-1, I think.
Yeah, I think we'll concede. I think it's just the way it is at the moment. We're not strong enough at times. Like, we're not mentally strong enough for 90 minutes, if that makes sense. That's what
Whereas
it feels
I think you go back to that, like, unbeaten run, but like in the midst of that, when that was really happening, we just looked like we couldn't concede. It looked like it was no possible way that they just looked so comfortable. Whereas last night, when people were running at them, you were a little bit like, they're backing off. They're not sure. They look a bit more unconfident. And I think that's what gives you the feeling that we're going to concede, right? Because they're not as like straight to the ball as they perhaps were. And as not committed, but just sure. They were much more sure, I think, of what... Whereas it seems like a lot of the balls are coming in and they're just being battered away like... anyhow a little bit at times. It all seems a bit last ditch, whereas I think during that period when we were really solid, if you think just looked like everyone knew their job. Maybe that's part of the rotation.
Maybe it is. I'm going to go for 3-1. I'm going to go for a Torp Thunder Bastard at some point, which should be absolutely great to see.
He's been lining a few up.
Yeah, hopefully he lines one up early doors on Saturday to settle the nerves. Dave, great to have you with me as usual on the podcast. Thanks for talking through it with me. Big thank you to Sky Blue Army for listening. A big thank you once again to the Sky Blue Tavern for their continued support. Safe travels to everyone making that trip to Stoke on Saturday, and we'll be back on Monday with another episode. Play up, Sky Blues.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.